Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. 12 people, each with a different backstory, find themselves in a not-so-space of paradise. What do they do? That's the premise of Castaways, ABC's new depiction of human endurance. Showrunner Brad Kaler joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. In HBO's world of animals, pigeons, rats, and other non-human representatives of the big city share an animated late-night limelight. Season 3 continues tonight, and we'll catch up next half hour with creators and executive producers Phil Matarese and Mike Luciano. Also ahead, our classic trivia question of the week. And dear Samsung, no smart TV showcase yesterday here in the Big Apple? Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, now in its 12th year on the air. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. 85 degrees at the top of this hour, and once again we welcome you to the program All About Television. Some great guests coming away from the West Coast over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. We have a chat room open for business as well. We've got some people in the room already. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and guests 228 and 230 are already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or Spreaker screen. Follow the instruction. Other people can be live with you. Emmy Award nominee Grant Kaler joins us live from Castaways in Los Angeles after these news notes. We have some quickies for you in the next few moments. Paul Rudd will headline Living With Yourself, an 8-episode dramedy for Netflix. Living was originally developed last year at IFC. Slumdog Millionaire composer and Oscar winner A.R. Rahman is putting together a Harmony miniseries for Amazon. 4 episodes are planned. CBS News Sunday Morning will mark 4 decades of existence with a primetime special September 14th. The title, Sunday's Best. Jane Pauley hosts. And after 35 years in syndication, Jeopardy! Finds a new way to be seen today. As of today, classic episodes, including tournament action, will be carried on Hulu, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And that is news notes for today. ABC's new series, Castaways, got off to a great start Tuesday night at 10 p.m. East Pacific Time. Not only was it number one its time period among the broadcast networks, it was the top-rated summer show for ABC in that time period in several years. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an internet radio exclusive, the Emmy-nominated creator and showrunner of Castaways, Grant Kaler. Grant, welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure. What kind of reaction are you getting from ABC's viewers to your program so far?
Oh, gosh, it's been overwhelmingly positive. You know, I think with a lot of new shows, there's always the skeptics, but for the most part, everyone's been overwhelmingly positive. It's been really, really nice to hear.
Let's get the obvious question out of the way. How much of an influence was the Tom Hanks movie, directed by Robert Zemeckis, Castaways, figure in the making of the show?
Well, what was that, 20 years ago probably? So honestly, not a lot. I didn't think about it at the time. Did it set up a whole genre of television that has lasted since then? Yeah, probably. But in coming up with it and creating the concept, you know, as far as the aesthetic of the show and some of the things that he went through in that movie, we certainly referenced it at times, but it really wasn't an overwhelming influence on the show.
So how did it come together? How long has this been in the works for?
Oh, gosh. I pitched something a long time ago called Separation Anxiety, and it was based on the idea that people will come together almost like magnets, you know, no matter where in the world you drop them. And over the years, I did multiple shows, and what really happened a few years ago when I pitched this version was I was really intrigued by the way that scripted television really utilizes flashbacks to tell so many stories. And no one had really done that in unscripted television. You know, Lost obviously did it very well. The Reese Witherspoon Wild, I don't know if you've seen that. That did it really well. And I really wanted to try and accomplish that with Unscripted, as daunting as it did sound. And that's where we started. You know, we started with a very basic survival concept and flashbacks in order to tell people's backstories.
In order to have these flashbacks work, you have to have good subjects. And the 12 subjects that were picked for this season, the range of backstories is quite amazing. How do you get that group of subjects, everyone from someone who's a family member was a victim of gang violence to someone whose family has been in and out of homeless shelters or being homeless on the streets of a particular city, how do you get all of those stories together and then determine, all right, this is going to be what we're going to focus on?
You know, it was a really unique casting process for sure. We used the guys over at Casting Duo to accomplish this. They've been casting shows for years. And what we talked about was just approaching this very differently. You know, not just outreach on the internet like you do on so many shows, but a lot of very personal outreach, finding friends of friends. You know, at the end of the day, what we talked about was everyone has a story. It's just a matter of, can we find those that are willing to share it as intimately as we would like to? You know, back to the theory, if you're sitting on a subway, that person next to you is going through something, but 9 out of 10 people probably don't want to talk about it. So that was the difficult thing. You know, we came across a lot of extremely spectacular and unique stories, but, you know, were they willing to talk about it, first of all, in general, and second of all, on national TV? That's where the real challenge came in. So we spent, you know, we spent months and months just hitting the ground and trying to find these people. We ended up with, like you said, a very unique and diverse cast with really, really remarkable stories of overcoming just about everything you can think of.
One of the pitches that ABC has made in promoting the series is that the backstories parallel what they go through on this group of islands that are in the South Pacific. That somehow, some way, they think when they're starting this inner journey that they're getting away from their previous lives, but in reality they're not.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable to watch, actually. You know, we were even shocked by how much someone's behavior on the islands really mirrored things that happened in their past. And that's how we ended up structuring the show editorially. You know, whether it's something that they're actually going through, a reflection of sorts, or something that happens on the islands that reminds them of home. And it really did. It paralleled just about perfectly with all of them in some way, some form, without exception.
What was each subject told about how things would go? You know, when would they go out on this journey? When would they be dropped, as the Presley says, on these islands? How long could they stay? What is the early thing we can rescue, and so on and so forth? How much detail were they given?
They were told very, very little, to the point where, you know, they didn't even know what country they were going to until, oh, maybe 30 days out when we had to give them all vaccines, you know. So they knew very, very little. We told them a time frame that they had to be available to be away from their lives for. And so if people could manage that, you know, stepping away from family and friends and work for that amount of time, and they were okay with not really knowing the rules, not knowing what they'd have available to them or where they were going or how long it would last. And we weren't just trying to be cruel. You know, the real concept of the show is, how do you act in an unknown situation? You know, so many of these shows that put people in these situations, you know exactly what you're getting into. And in a survival situation in the real world, you're never prepared for it. So we really wanted to try and mimic that psychologically. And, you know, so that's why we did keep as many details as possible away from our cast. And then, you know, of course, we got them near the location and sat them down and gave them a little more information, just as far as some basic guidelines, but they still didn't know. You know, you can talk to any of the cast members. They were very, very much in the dark, you know, and uncomfortable about it, I'm sure, until they got there, and even after they got there, you know, dropped off and telling themselves, now what am I supposed to do?
Were they all brought together beforehand, or were each of these conversations individual, one-on-one?
Yeah, they were all individual. None of them ever met each other. You know, Robbie told me a few weeks ago that he never knew that there was 12 people total until he saw the press release come out. You know, so they were essentially flown out there individually. They were kept apart, which was obviously uncomfortable for them. You know, they're kind of quarantined to a hotel room for a few days, and then they were transported all individually, and so they had no idea who else was out there, how many other people were out there, or where they might be.
I want to point out that Robbie, who just referred to, is Robbie Gibbons. He's from Birmingham, Alabama, 42 years old. He weighs 390 pounds. He's a family person, but he has an addiction to food. And it's the kind of food addiction that can very easily turn into a stroke or a heart attack at any given moment. But very upbeat, very positive, that may be, and he's also in phys ed, and that may be in part why he's avoided the heart attack or the stroke at this point. But it's a fact. But that's an example of the kind of backstory that these people have.
Yep, exactly. Robbie was an amazing guy to have on the show. Like I was talking about with all of the cast, he was so open to talking about that. You know, that's not obviously something unique in our country. It's something that a lot of people battle and go through, and he just really opened up about it. And if you saw the first episode, you saw that. It's stuff that's not easy to watch, and certainly if you're the subject of it, not easy to talk about. And he was very open about it.
Glenn Kaler is the Emmy-nominated producer before doing Castaways of a long-running show on Discovery Channel, some of you might know it, called Alaska, The Last Frontier. And now he is doing Castaways. It's on ABC Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and he's with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Appleman with you live from New York, where it's 85 degrees at the top of the hour. Glad you're with us, wherever you're catching us across the country, around the globe, on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for Grant, give us that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name, guest 228 is in the room. A week from Monday, a brand new network is going to debut all about the world of theater. I had a chance to see a preview of it here in New York this morning. It's called The Stage Network. It's going to be running first on Roku and Apple TV, and then later on other smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And 1 week from today, we'll celebrate that launch live on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll have the person who founded the network, Rick Affondio. He'll be joining us live. That's a week from Monday, August 20th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Grant, how long did it take to finally nail down the 12 subjects?
Oh, probably 6 months. It was a long process, you know. To your point about Robbie and health concerns, you know, they obviously after the normal casting process, there's a long process to make sure people are healthy enough to go through something like this. So it was a very long process.
And then from there, how long did it take for them to get to the islands, be put in a particular spot? Did you try to match, let's say, a particular spot on the island to a particular person?
No, it was all randomized, actually, to the point where we, you know, gave everyone's name and gave them a number so they weren't identifiable to the network, and they randomized for us and sent it back to us, both the people, individual people were dropped, and the bags, which are also scattered and randomized. So the people, you know, some people ended up with their own things just out of luck, a 1 in 12 chance, I guess, and most people ended up with some stranger stuff that they had never met. But to answer your first question, it probably took, you know, we shot with each subject for 4 to 6 weeks before taking them out there. And that was in order to document their story back at home. You know, if you watch the show, what we tried to do is replace, a lot of times these shows are driven by interviews, on-camera interviews, where someone's telling you about what kind of person they are or what their story is back at home. And what we tried to do is stay away from that and really show you. So rather than Robbie, who we talked about, saying I'm a gym coach from Birmingham, Alabama, we show that. If rather than him saying I've battled food addiction my entire life, we show him eating in his kitchen at 2 a.m. You know, so it's really we spend a lot of time on those backstories and just really embedding ourselves with them. And then, of course, we have to get them out to this very remote location and drop them off in the middle of nowhere. So from the time someone was cast until they were actually dropped on the island, probably another 6 or 8 months.
Because of your previous work on Alaska, The Last Frontier, how did that help you once the subjects were on the island in terms of how you used your camera crews and your production teams? How did you assign different crews to individual people? How did you use what you learned on Alaska to work, which is, of course, a story about, you know, as frontier a state as there is in the United States, to use that experience to bring it to castaways?
Yeah, a lot of the operators, the camera operators, were actually guys that we had on that show. You know, shooting in Alaska, one of the interesting things is just logistically, how do you accomplish it? You know, we had many, many shoots on horseback, on the back of four-wheelers, on snowmobiles, you know, every unconventional way of transportation you can have. So a lot of these guys were used to it. They've shot documentaries on Mount Everest and everything else. And so what we really looked for were guys that, first of all, were crazy enough to put themselves through it, but also talented enough to be able to capture something beautifully in as harsh of an environment as this was.
You know, when you look at shows like this, shows that involve nature, one of the things you hear all the time from producers, and we had Al Berman of Yellowstone Live on our show Monday, who just came through 4 nights of doing 2 hours of live filming from Yellowstone National Park, is you can't direct nature. Nature directs you. So how does that fit into, again, when you have these 12 different people at different places and all at different stages of what they're dealing with in terms of enduring their circumstances, their surroundings? How do you work that?
Well, it's tough, honestly. You know, you're dealing with monsoon strength rains out there and extreme darkness, and you know, there's obviously no roads or anything at this location, so your only form of transportation is by boat. But when there's a swell in the ocean, that becomes difficult. You know, it's always tricky with these shows. You want to be remote, you want it to be a very authentic experience, but you also need to make sure people are safe, cast and crew. And it's tough. It just takes a lot of planning, honestly. There's no making mistakes. You know, you can't take not enough batteries. You know, there's just no making mistakes like that, because you're going to be a week without them, because it takes so long to get to some of these locations. And whether that's in remote Alaska or Yellowstone or in eastern Indonesia, you know, that's always going to be the case. And you just kind of get used to that planning stage when you're shooting remotely like this.
Mm-hmm. What about the kind of cameras that you use and trying to keep your camera people and your sound people and so forth at bay so that the subjects don't see them and they're not, I'm being followed, I'm being watched. You know,
right. We were really careful with that because it obviously is tricky for a show like this. But when people were dropped, essentially what we did was we had no sound guys, we had no producers on the ground, we had only one person with a camera, and we ran the sound straight into the camera so that they could be very hands off. They didn't talk to the people. They had long lenses. Excuse me. And That was just the way we handled it, so that we didn't interfere with their experience. You know, we didn't stop them down for interviews or anything. And once people started to come together, you'll see groups start to form. Some people reach out for others. Then our footprint became slightly larger, just to manage that. But at that point, the isolation isn't as large of that person's story, so that was okay. But yeah, at the beginning, or with anyone who is alone, we really just tried to stay in the bushes and use all of that lens so that we're not affecting the experience that the people are having.
The experience we're talking about is Castaways. Episode number 2 is coming up this Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on ABC. And we've got the Emmy-nominated showrunner of the program, Grant Kaler, is with us. He's live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. The Lines are with us this Friday afternoon. Thank you for making us happen here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network from wherever you are. And we have a few more minutes with Grant. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, Simon Applebaum 04 by name. If you want to catch up with episodes of our program All About the Tube, it makes it very easy for you. All you have to do is go to our homepage anytime you like. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. We're also available in podcast form in several ways: on iTunes, on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, Spreaker's own podcast radio app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And for that, all you have to do is go to www.iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Will Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you are right there. Or go up to Categories at the top of the screen, click that, then click Entertainment, and again, you will then catch our logo and all the episodes that we've had so far on iHeartRadio. And by the way, thanks to you, so far over 5,000 replays this month, and we're not even done with one-third of the month. So keep it coming on the various ways that you can get our program. And, of course, if you like our show on tape or on replay, join us live Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. Speaker, next week we're on Monday and Thursday, following week 3 episodes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So check us out. Make us a regular habit and bring some other people along to be company and interact with our guests as well. Grant, in terms of arranging the individual episodes, how did you figure on doing it, particularly when you have so many subjects to deal with and so many backstories?
You know, honestly, it kind of presented itself. We didn't have an outline when we got out there. We certainly didn't know what was going to happen, so we just kind of went with the flow. You know, the only way for people to leave the islands is to quit or to last until an unknown rescue date. And so, you know, people's actions really dictated the way we put the stories together. When people quit, obviously, that you can't change that. So we really went into it blind, as blind as I've ever been on a production, to be honest. But we were just relying on a very real experience to see how it fleshed out.
I'm curious, how did the people who had some training in experience like this? I mean, one of the subjects, in fact, lives on Hawaii. So she's had some, I think she has now, after experience, one person was a former Green Beret. So you've had a number of people who might have had or are privy to having this experience before, and I'm curious how they did to compare to others.
You know, what's interesting about them is, you know, part of the concept of this show is simply the fact that all of these people and resources are scattered out there. You know, you almost can consider them a resource. You know, if you find Chriselle, who is from Hawaii, she's going to know a lot more than someone from Manhattan about the flora and fauna of the area, just from the simple environment that she grew up in. And so, you know what, honestly, if I was out there and I ran into Chriselle, I would think I hit the jackpot, because she, you know, she is going to know a lot more than, again, someone from New York or Nashville. And so you really had to treat it that way. Same thing with a Green Beret. You know, there was all types of skill sets out there, but everyone did have something different, you know, and not just outdoor experience, but just, the way they handle adversity in their life. And someone that makes you smile every day could be as useful as a Green Beret or a Hawaiian local, you know, and all of those things came into play with how well people did, honestly.
What do you hope that the audience comes away the most with about this series, and especially about each and every one of these subjects that we're going to get to know over the course of the next month or so?
You know, it's really a show about the theory of the fact that companionship aids our survival, right? There are certainly people that choose to do this alone, and there are certainly people who, like in episode 1, reached out minute 1 from the, you know, when they landed. And you know, that's kind of the overarching theme of the show. Now, individually, what's interesting is I think they all went out there with with I don't know what all of their expectations were. I think they were all certainly surprised by how real the experience was. But what they came to realize was that they all needed some sort of reason to continue. It becomes extremely difficult. You know, you start losing that many hours of sleep and ingesting that few calories. You really need a reason to stay. And people had to dig very deep for that. And I think all of them, not just the people that last till the end, but all of them really came out of this finding out something very, very deep about themselves in the process. And those who had a strong enough reason and a strong enough will, you know, could make it to the end.
Maybe it adds up to, if you can endure this, you can endure and triumph over anything in life.
100%, and many of them recognize that and voice that on the show as we get deeper into the series.
Mm-hmm. Episode 2 of Castaways, this coming Tuesday night, 10 p.m. East Pacific time on your local ABC station. Check your link for where ABC does play in your area. And for more details about the program online, go to www.abc or abc.go.com. It's www.abc or abc.go.com. Castaways, week number 2. Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Brad Carey, the showrunner of the program, thank you very much for coming on. Congratulations on how the show is going so far, and hopefully much, much more to come. And who knows, this may be the beginning of a great long run.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. A pleasure. Take care. Have a super weekend.
All right, you too.
Brad Carey, showrunner on Castaways, once again, Tuesday night, 10 o'clock on ABC, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow, we televise ahead of you and us, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Can you get enough of Harry Potter? Well, if you can't, got news for you. There's a brand new release on Audible.com that you can get with a trial run. It's called Harry Potter, A History of Magic by Ben Davies. And it gives you some more great behind-the-scenes activity about what made Harry Potter and his colleagues work so well in the field of magic and all their education. Harry Potter, A History of Magic by Ben Davies. And you can get it right now. How? Get a trial run. 30-day, one-month trial to Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and certainly inspiration. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, not just major audiobooks by major authors, but also increasingly original audio and radio productions, everything from off-Broadway and Broadway shows to originally made for the medium work. And guess what? You can use and listen to any of those titles, well, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, Blog Talk Radio. So you can listen to us on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now on Blog Talk Radio Speaker or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. All there is to it, one free audiobook and 1 month trial of the service. Oh, yeah, great customer service, too, because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. So for that free audiobook and that 1 month trial, all you got to do, head on down and check out audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tamale Televised. We are the program All About the Tube, and we are usually with you Mondays and Fridays from 3 to 4, 3 to 4:30 on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, also on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. We're available 24/7. Remember, next week we're coming your way Monday and Thursday. Why Thursday? Because Friday, ESPN is having a special media day up at their headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut. Very rare for them, and we hope to be there and maybe even set up an interview for an upcoming episode. And then the following week, it's our usual three-episode week of the month. That will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, August 20th, 22nd, and 24th. And August 20th, we'll have a brand-new network getting launched on smart TV sets and smart devices called the Stage Network, all about the world of theater. And that will be starting first on Roku and Apple TV. And we will have the chief executive officer of the network, Rich Avenatto, will join us. I had a chance to meet him earlier today. And I can tell you this, there's a very ambitious network that he's working on. And, again, it kicks off a week from Monday. Remember, we always love hearing from you here on this program. We want to know what you think about the world of television, where it's at and where it's going. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and I have a letter for Samsung about what they did yesterday, actually what they didn't do yesterday that they could have done. But first, New York Television Festival alumni have got their third season of Animals on HBO. Yes, that's the late night show about the unique animals of New York City doing their thing. We've got the crazy executive producers, Phil Maresi and Mike Luciano, both of us live from beautiful downtown Burbank. Ashley Paul is at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And we're being simulcast on Spreaker.com as well. PTR is your home for one of the longest running shows of its kind, Just the Story. It's the Urban Legend Podcast, and you can check it out on Blog Talk Radio every week, various times. Don't forget, Blog Talk Radio program is available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Friday afternoon of August 2018. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York, 85 degrees top of the hour. More great guests coming away in the half hour ahead, plus our class trivia question of the week, and a comment in the form of a letter to Samsung. And if you have some questions or comments for our guests ahead, make that call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Usually, when we kick off a new year, and we are in our 12th year on the air, we kicked off on Monday, we usually have something about the New York Television Festival, usually the people who make the festival happen. We didn't do it this time because, simply, the New York Television Festival started earlier than usual. Rather than start in October, it started last month and did very, very well. So we have the next best thing. We have a pair of festival alumni. We've had them on the floor before, and it was 5 years ago that they won one of the key awards from that festival, Best Comedy, with an animated pilot called Animals. It was all about, rats and mice and pigeons and birds from the big city, New York and otherwise, sharing about life and times, and sometimes even demonstrating what those life and times are like. The pilot was very well received, and then the guests you're about to hear met the Duplass brothers, and they said, make 10 episodes. Don't worry about where it's going to go. It'll happen, and it'll happen great. And it sure did, because from that deal, they went to HBO. And now the program is on Friday nights, including tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and it just started its third season. Joining us live from beautiful downtown Burbank, California, are the creators and executive producers and New York Television Festival alumni, Phil Maresi and Mike Luciano. Phil and Mike, welcome back in.
Hey, Simon. Thanks for having us, man.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Happy 12th birthday of your show.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's great to have you both back. And Phil, I'll start with you. Do you and Mike still stay in touch with the festival alumni, Terrence, as well as the directors, Terrence Gray, Aaron Day, all the folks?
Yeah, Terrence and Aaron. We haven't talked to them in a bit, but for sure, you know, Terrence, we got food. He was one of the first people we told about our deal once we signed with HBO, and that was, like, really cool to get a meal with him and, like, hear him kind of sit down and be like, yeah, we just kind of want something to pop from the festival. And then we sort of sat back and went, oh, Terrence, don't we have news for you? But, yeah, we consider them, everyone over there close friends and an integral part, obviously, to our whole little journey thus far.
Mike, your program was one of the first breakouts of the festival, or for that matter, any television festival, to make it as a series. 3 years later, do you and Phil still like, sort of like, wow, can we still believe this? That, you know, not only did we make it on a network, but we're still on that network?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think every day we get to make this show, it's a, we're reminded that, you know, how lucky we are. And I think we've been fortunate enough to have, you know, these three seasons to grow and get better at making the show, which is exciting. And yeah, it's, you know, every day we, you know, there's a grind element to it. It gets tricky. It gets frustrating. There's a lot of plate spinning when you're making a TV show. But I think throughout it all, it's always fun to kind of take stock and just go, wow, I can't believe we get to do this.
So how has Animals evolved?
Well, you know, I think we're telling this season, particularly season three, the actual structure of the show has changed a bit, whereas previous seasons we've kind of had little sketches in our episodes. We don't really have those sketches anymore. And every episode features a live-action element to it. So in season three, every episode kicks off with this small little live action sketch, and then we morph into the animated world. Additionally, it's more serialized. So towards the back half of season three, viewers will come to see that the episodes kind of bleed into each other more. And I think that's something that, you know, Mike and I are really excited about for this season is for all of our fans of the show to really get a 10 episode story that's pretty interesting and hopefully rewarding.
So, Mike, when you and Phil have to deal with an arc of 10 episodes as opposed to each episode has a certain number of vignettes, and now you throw in a live-action open. It sounds like a little like 6 feet under, if you will. How do you shift your writing style, your animation style, the whole way you do the show? And how long did it take for both of you to sort of shift the gears?
Yeah, well, you know, what's fun about our show is that each episode we focus on a different animal species. So this season, by taking out some of the sketchier elements, it made the writing of each episode more, just a little bit more streamlined with each story we're telling. So I think what people who will tune in this season will find is that each episode really does feel like kind of like a little movie, a little animated movie that can exist by itself. But if you keep watching the episodes, as Phil was just saying, the storylines and a lot of the jokes and a lot of the characters end up stitching together and weaving into a singular storyline, all about these different animal species in New York City coming together without any humans. So that was something that was fun to shift our brains, you know, on sort of a different wavelength for this season, and we think it's made this season really exciting.
We're talking about season three of Animals. It's the popular HBO late night series. It's on 11:30 p.m. tonight into season number three, and it was one of the first TV series to come out of a television festival, specifically the New York Television Festival, believe it or not, 5 years ago this year. We've got the creative executive producer of the series all along, Phil Matteris and Mike Luciano. They're both on the side from Burbank, California this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy Appleband with you live from New York Delight. You're with us on this Friday afternoon, whether you're checking us out on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker via Simulcast, or the IR Radio Podcast Network. You have a question or comment? Bring it on. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Remember, the numbers get anywhere. You're calculus across the country or globe-wide here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And we also have our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So make the most of it. Coming up later this half hour, our commentary question of the week. And Samsung did something yesterday I decided to write a letter about. I'll give you the details a little bit before the half hour is up. So, I've always wondered whether your series was ripped from the headlines anyway, so use the Dick Wolf approach, even though it was animated. Where do you find the subject matter? Where do you find the plot points?
Well, I don't think it's ripped from the headlines, just given the fact that it takes us kind of around 10 months to make a season of this. So by the time anything would come out, it would probably feel pretty dated. But, you know, it stems from, we do a lot of kind of send-up stories. So if Mike and I are feeling like, let's do a disaster movie, or let's do a drama, or let's do a Victorian-era period piece, which is our horses episode this season, we kind of think in those terms for, I don't know, maybe 20% of the episodes. And then the other ones are, we kind of have a stock and a stable of characters that we can return to. The Phil and Mike Rats, what are they going to do? They're more of like a kind of a slow burn, and they grow over the season, and you know, they would end up fighting at one point in the season and then coming back together. So how are we going to continue that storyline? And then just relationship-wise, how we can sort of figure out new fun things for the Phil character and the Mike character to be in each episode. And, you know, this season we're antagonists in an episode, so we're not really even the main characters. We're kind of like background elements to it. Even another episode we're also not the main characters. So kind of reformatting the show and just telling really, for us, it's stories. What's this 30 minutes of TV we're going to tell? How does it excite the both of us? How is it different from previous seasons and previous episodes of Animals that we've done so far? Because, you know, again, it takes 10 months to do it, and from front to back, you kind of have to love each one of these things. And we've mailed in episodes before and really kind of been like, you know, it's pigeons, but it's Die Hard. It'll write itself. And then we get to storyboard, and we're like, it'll find itself eventually, and it just doesn't, you know? So I think with this season, we've really learned that, yeah, you just got to love the story, and you got to love what you're going to tell and have it feel especially fresh to Mike and myself.
Anyway, Mike, no matter what kind of episode you do, one of the hallmarks of the series along is that you see it through this urban filter, this filter of life in metropolis, life in sometimes the underbelly of a city like New York or Los Angeles, Chicago, or an urban, any urban metropolis, not just in the United States, but anywhere in the world. Is that still the case with this third season, that you still have that lens to work with?
For sure. Well, I think, you know, what the first two seasons were predicated on was the idea of, you know, this is the New York City is the most human, you know, man-made environment, arguably, in the world. So, you know, you have so much wildlife that has adapted to these concrete skyscrapers, the subways, and have sort of had to live as a result of what humans made this environment out to be. And so the fun of the first two seasons was going, okay, well, what are their lives like adapting to that? What are the little windows into the lives of those rats that are running around on the tracks and the pigeons up on the rooftops? And then what's fun about this season, all along we've stitched this human storyline where no one talks. It's been just visual throughout the first two seasons, where essentially, if you watch, where we wind up at the end of the second season is that all the humans are wiped out in one full blow. So season three of Animals starts in a New York City that is devoid of any humans. So now what's been really fun about this season is going, okay, well, those same animals that were, you know, had to survive alongside the humans, what are their lives like now where the city is empty of any human life and they make it their own? What does that look like? And where we started with that is that each of the animals section off different areas according to their species. So, you know, the rats kind of stick to their own tribe, and the cats have their little area. And then throughout the 10 episodes, you know, sort of the fun of the story is how do those different species come together and sort of claim New York for themselves as a whole and learn to get along.
It sounds like, Phil, that there's a bit of a Lord of the Flies element here.
A tidbit, yeah. You know, some animals get it right. The rats are living good, having a good time, and some animals are kind of messing it up a bit. For instance, some horses still use horses as horses. So they kind of have this weird sort of class system that they built up, and that was a fun thing to explore for each one of these, to build these cool new little environments, and then also at the in the same season sort of tear them back down.
Did either of you ever see a movie called The World of Flesh and the Devil?
I haven't, no.
No.
Sounds cool.
It is. It's a movie that was done in the early 1960s by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and it starred Harry Belafonte as a worker who ends up being, who thinks he may end up being the last person on Earth, the result of a nuclear holocaust that hits New York City, and he goes and hits the East Coast as a whole. And he goes to New York. He thinks that he's trying to figure out how to live his life walking the streets of New York. He finds that he ends up meeting two other people, played by Inger Stevens and by Mel Ferrer. And it's sort of like, can we get along and that whole sort of thing. And when you were talking just now about the fact that this third season is in an era where no humans are around, it's sort of like, oh, world flesh and the devil.
Yeah. So what you're saying is we should prepare for a lawsuit.
I think the people involved making that movie are long gone. So I'll be unsure about that.
Thank God. Thank God. All right.
But I'm just curious if you decided to be, what was interesting about that movie, it wasn't the most perfect film, but I had a lot of fun. It was marvelous, by the way, in that movie. But was that it was very stark, and it was very it was shot. It looked like it was shot on the streets of New York at a time when you didn't have, like, I'm sure, like, way early in the morning where there are no humans out there on Times Square or Wall Street or whatever, and it had this United Nations, all these great landmarks that you saw. And I'm wondering if you did that with any of your episodes. Like, do, for example, here are the pigeons trying to conquer the United Nations part of Manhattan, or, you know, the horses dealing with Brooklyn, Upper Brooklyn, or that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, we did initially when we were breaking this season, we did pull out a map of New York City and kind of figure out each one of these areas. It's actually in the first episode of it. But, you know, it ended up being, like, kind of restricting, where now it's just, again, for us, it's just telling a story focused, and, you know, we want it to feel kind of evergreen, and you're definitely inside of New York City. There is some landmarks that we come across throughout the season, but it's nothing too specific. We've tried to keep it, as you said earlier, kind of evergreen city, so that way anyone, you know, if someone in San Fran's watching it, if someone in Vancouver's watching it, they can sort of feel the same vibe of a New York-based show.
Season 3 of Animals. You can catch the latest episode tonight at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on HBO. We've got the two people that make it happen each and every week, and they are the creative executive producers Phil Maurice and Mike Luciano, graduates of the New York Television Festival. They're with us live this half hour on Swabby Televised and joining us live from Burbank, California. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, also on the iHeartRadio podcast. Now we've got a few more minutes with our folks, so give them a call. Make the ring happen, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple048. Coming up next, our classic trivia question of the week. We're keeping it in play. If you are first with the correct answer, you can win the Mr. Mercedes second season DVD and program guide. And I have a letter for Samsung about what they did yesterday here in New York, actually about what they didn't do that maybe they should have done. I'll read that letter to you in a little bit. Phil, what did you go back and forth with Michael about this idea of doing live action for the first time in this third season?
Well, you know, in season two, there's an episode in the middle that's all live action. It's called Humans. And we had a lot of fun doing that. But I think for season three, the idea of doing live action in every episode was one of our earliest conversations. And the idea, the structure idea of starting it with human beings, then going into the animated episode and getting rid of the sketches and all these sorts of things that we ended up now. And we didn't really go back and forth. It was just sort of, you know, at this point, as you said, New York Television Festival was 5 years ago, and we started this 6 years ago, so 6.5 years or so. So I think creatively on the project of Animals, Mike and I are kind of like, you know, we wax and wane on certain things, but it ends up being, like, pretty in tune with each other, and I don't think either of us would pitch a monumental season change without kind of vibing the idea that we would both be into it. It was definitely exciting, and it was doing that live-action episode in season two was sort of opened us up to, like, yeah, we can do this, and you know, we can carve out some funds in our production budget, and we could just set aside a period of time, and we could just kind of bang it out, and that's what we did for this season.
And also, I'll just add on too that you know, I think one of the things that's been really fun along the way that we've really get excited about making our show is the idea of playing with the form of half-hour TV a little bit. So, you know, when you tune in to an episode of Animals, you know, you're going to be kept on your toes a little bit, because we're going to try things that you're maybe not expecting. And that's been a source of a lot of creative excitement for us. And so I think when this, you know, way to frame the season came up, as Phil was just saying, it just felt like a further scary endeavor to try and to try and make work, and it was really fun executing it. We have great people in it too. We have Demi Moore, who's this general who just really has her yells at us a lot. And Mel Rodriguez, who's amazing, and some other great people. So it turned out pretty great, we think.
Mike, how long do you and Phil want to keep this going?
Well, as long as we can keep it running. We love making the show, and as I was just saying, it's one of the benefits is we get to shape it into what's exciting to us, and that feels like a rarity. So we'll keep making it as long as people want these animals.
Mm-hmm. And Phil, before I let you both go, is there a second show in the works for you? At some point, do you want to sort of broaden your horizons beyond one series and sort of create a empire for yourself?
Sure, yeah, okay. Of course. I think that's kind of anyone's real hope once you're inside of this thing of Hollywood is to just, you know, explore different creative muscles. And even now, you know, Mike and I just rolled into another little animated short that we're going to make just to keep ourselves busy. But it's a cool period right now where Animals is airing. We, you know, the same day season one started airing was the same day we absolutely finished production on season three. So we feel like super open and working on a whole bunch of other projects, whether it's live action, animated, feature, etc., TV shows. We're trying to do it all.
And they certainly do. Season 3 of Animals, now on HBO, Friday nights, including tonight, at 11:30 Eastern and Pacific Time. Check your locals for HBO is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.hbo.com. But by the way, it's also available on HBO Now and HBO Go, and on video on demand as well. And if you want to know more about the New York Television Festival, which had its latest event, number 14, last month, go to www.nytvf.com. It's www.nytvf.com. Great time there. A lot of super talent. And look out, TV world, and there's expanded horizons of what's going on in television, who's doing it. I think you'll be seeing more of people like Phil and Mike down the road very, very soon. Phil Benes, Mike Luciano, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on 3 years of great times with Animals and hopefully much more of that series. And sounds like the empire is forming between the two of you, and we really appreciate you coming aboard. Keep us posted.
Oh, thanks so much, Simon, and congrats on your 12.
Thanks, Simon. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Phil and Mike. I really appreciate it. I'm delighted that you can be part of our anniversary week. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too.
Bye. See ya.
Phil Maris and Mike Luciano from Animals joining us live from Burbank, California. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week, which we edited to play a week and a half ago. We're still waiting for that winner, and if you can get it before the weekend is out, you can win the Season 2 DVD of Mr. Mercedes. Season 2, by the way, premieres on the AT&T Audience Service later this month, plus the program guides in the service. Great people involved, like Colin Taylor in front of the camera and David E. Kelley and Stephen King behind the camera. Here's the question. Name one of three 1960s television series starring Ralph Tager. Name one of three 1960s television series starring Ralph Tager, T-A-E-G-E-R. I'll give you a couple of hits. Two of them were Westerns. One of them was an adaptation of one of John Wayne's not only most popular movies, but one of his most offbeat movies. In fact, it was offbeat in a big way. It was his only 3D movie. That's right. John Wayne did a 3D movie, and that's one of the series that Ralph Tager did in the 1960s, early 1970s. So if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. If you purchase the correct answer, you win the Mr. Mercedes Season 2 DVD and program guide. In case you just missed the question a moment ago, I'll post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. In order to win, remember, you got to be in, so get in there because that's the way the game is played, and you can be great in it. So all the very best to you. And finally, a comment, which I am posing in the form of a letter to the powers that be at Samsung. Here we are. Dear Samsung, I understand you were near my neck of the woods in Brooklyn, specifically the Barclays Center yesterday, to showcase, among other things, your new Note 9 phone and a couple of other projects under the Unpacked banner. Well, here's what I didn't see showcased. Boy, was this a bummer. Your smart television sets. That's right, your smart TV sets. Where were they? Why weren't they showcased before the multitude of press and other people that were there at the Barclays Center when you had it right in the palm of your hand? But here's something else you did do that I wish you could have tied in with your smart sets. You showcased Bixby, your artificial intelligence voice process that currently is being put into your smart television set. What? You showcased the smart speaker with Bixby, and you didn't show how it was used in your smart television set? Come on! Are you nuts? Gee, I'm disappointing you, Samsung people. You had a great opportunity to showcase smart TV sets before one big audience. Super Press, Super Place, Barclays Center, you know, home of the Nets and the Islanders, great, great show place. You know, Barbara Streisand was there with a concert, other people too, and you couldn't take a moment to show smart TV sets in action and the apps you're up to? Please come back. Please come back. And when you do, don't show the smartphone. Don't show other smart. Show the smart TV set. Show how your Bixby artificial intelligence process makes a big difference with your smart sets. I'll definitely come along for the ride, but make the ride happen, okay? Okay. And that's my letter to Samsung. And thanks to our wonderful guests for being with us this hour on Tomorrow Be Televised as we wrap up week one of our 12th year on the air. We'll be back on Monday and Thursday of next week, and then the following week is our three-episode week of August. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And joining us on Monday, August 20th, will be the Chief Executive Officer of the brand-new service, The Stage Network, all about the world of theaters and ambitious plans. It'll kick off on smart TV sets and smart devices, starting off with Apple TV and Roku. Rick Appanato will join us then. And we have some other people that will be we hope to have with us next week and during that three-episode week as well. So make this happen. We're here Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. Remember, in case you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage anytime you like, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out the podcast version, iTunes, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, Spreaker's podcast app, and, of course, www.iHeartRadio.com. If you go the latter route, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you are in. As always, we love hearing from you. What do you think about our guests today and what they have accomplished? And what do you think about the world of television, where it is going? We want to hear from you because this is your show. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. I do respond to email in 24 hours. You also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. UBCSimonTWBT. As always, we love hearing what you have to say, and we do respond. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, executive content producer. Co-founders of Blog Talk Radio are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company, and once again, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook and 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend ahead. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.